As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit there.
Plus minus.
Driving again. Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. Do you hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think you got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome to a scorching hot winning streak edition of the Warriors plus minus
home game. Wins. Raymond Ritter just told me.
Oh wow, Ritter, what is that?
Happy with that statement. Six straight home wins.
It is three straight overall.
Yeah, and 2 days off, and then Wizards Blazers. So this they have a chance to go on like a legitimate five game winning streak.
They should be above 500 by Christmas.
Should be, but you know the other thing is like this the way the season's gone. Like you know Wizards Blazers could be deadly.
Jordan Poole coming to town. Watch out.
We can get to that in a little bit, but we should probably talk about what was it? What was the final? Like 132-126, something like that.
Overtime.
Warriors
rarely win in overtime. When's the last overtime win?
They got a couple last year, but there was at one point they were like 3-17 in the last 20, something like that. And you know, forget just overtime. Like crunch time has been a major problem for them this season. Blowing leads has been a major problem. They flipped it tonight. They were obviously very good in crunch, very good in overtime, and they came back.
Yeah, they were down 17.
Boston helped them.
Boston missed a lot of like shots. Very
58 threes.
Marcus Thompson was just seething. The coach inside him, the high school.
58 threes, shot 29% from three. Like
Derek White was hitting him.
Yeah, he was. I don't think anybody else was.
I don't think Hauser was.
Hauser 0 for 6. Yeah, Tatum 1-2 for 9. Yeah, they weren't going crazy.
I will say though, like you got to give some credit to the Warriors defense. They were active, hands were up. Younger guys, I'm sure we're going to talk about that.
They were athletic
at times? A little more athletic, a little quicker to the ball. Steph talked about this, and he picks five fouls midway through the third. And when he goes back in the fourth, they've got to protect him. Like, they played defense knowing that they couldn't let Steph be isolated against anybody. They kind of let him do that too many times to get to five fouls. So Jaylen Brown's just going right at him. And they helped him. They doubled. They forced somebody else to do stuff. It was pretty impressive. See, Derek, it was an impressive defensive performance, I thought, for a team that was getting blown out.
Well, yeah, they gave 40 in the first quarter.
Yeah, blown out. They had no shot against these mismatches. Were just all over the place. And then I think Kuminga was a big defensive thing, and obviously Trayce Jackson-Davis. We're going to talk about that. But turned around the game, might have turned around his entire season, and we'll get into that more, but he played tremendous.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, the five stories of the game to me are the five closers. I almost said starters. No, certainly not the five starters. The five closers. Steph Curry plays the final 17 minutes with five fouls. I think he scored 15 in the fourth and overtime. Klay Thompson quietly is really hot from three right now, 23 of 43 his last four games. He just looks like, you know, the Klay Thompson, at least you could say, of mid-last season.
Jeez, he got a 15 tonight? That was 6 of 15.
Yeah, and well, if it then he's probably 23 of 46 because I think I calculated that when he was 6 of 12. But he had hit some big ones too.
Hit the tying one, you know,
huge.
And
yeah.
The other from the top wasn't even from the corner; it's from the top.
Yeah, Chris Paul 12 assists, 0 turnovers. Another Raymond Ritter stat I was told. He said that either set or I think it tied a franchise record of most 12 assists, 0 turnover games. He already has 3 this year.
He also played 35 minutes.
Yep. And then you mentioned it, obviously, but Kuminga trusting him to close over Wiggins, which he hadn't done the previous games. He was good down the stretch. You know, mentioned on Tatum, the pick six steal to open overtime when neither team could score was big. The game ceiling play, which is the moonball step three, like that is a combo offensive rebound by Jackson Davis and Kuminga. Kuminga just like bumping Tatum into the lane. Jackson Davis tips it over to Paul, and then Paul gets it over to Curry.
I couldn't believe he was passing it. Like, I couldn't believe it when just watching it live. I just didn't think they had enough time. And he threw that pass. He wasn't that impressed by it himself because I asked him about it. He's like, yeah, done. We practiced that. And then for Steph to get that shot off, I just thought it had to be Paul shooting the ball. And because he was pretty close to the basket at the time, but he was the Chris Paul special. He just flicks it over to Steph and right in the shooting motion, and Steph gets it off, and it was all
that. Like air traffic control over there. Did you see that? He was waiting. Yeah. He's like, I'm open.
It was a pretty crazy sequence because I'm kind of like, for the story I'm doing off the game, I was slow-mo breaking down the play because it's like, look at the two rookies combo.
Steph missed a runner.
Right? Steph misses a runner, and 5 seconds later, he has circled around, and Chris Paul is making, like you said, a pretty audacious pass. But yeah, not impressed. The funny thing with Chris Paul is he enters every conversation, particularly with the reporters, believing like you don't truly understand how great he has been for as long as he has been.
Oh, he talked to me afterwards too about that, about his defense. So.
I believe 9-time defensive all defensive team, which he likes to be that.
Chris's son and I got a lecturing about 9-time defensive.
Did he give you 9? Did he tell you 9?
Yeah. Many times. It was me and his son. We both were getting it. I can't say it was no problem. If his son's gonna get it, I'm gonna get it too. That we doubted that he could guard Jason Tatum because he's a 9-time all defense. But that's fine. He played okay. Tatum great. Like, for like, as I said, like, he's taller than you. He goes, oh, like everybody at league's taller than me. Very Chris Paul. I think they got something with this closer group. We might change our minds again in 3 games. Well, I don't know. But
you know, and like, I think, you know,
it's a good mix. It's a good mix, that group.
I think there's some valid criticisms, obviously, of like various rotation decisions this season. But I will say the one thing, Steve Kerr, I think really since the Moody Sacramento situation, right, where he was even self-critical about it, I think he has been more flexible game to game. I don't know how you guys feel, but like it has become more like, oh, Trace has got it, stay with him. Oh, Kuminga's got it. Oh, you know, Wiggins, a nice game. I don't know.
He's benching like champions for a rookie from Santa Clara. Like, Steve is – like, he's not – like as flexible as people might want him to be, but I mean, they're running a lot of pick and roll.
But you know, people Draymond being out helps that. Like, Draymond being out gives him more flexibility.
Yeah. He's not as flexible as people wanted him to be. He's also, you know, the people that wanted him to be also are not telling Klay Thompson, like, you know, you're benched in the fourth quarter tonight. Hey, Andrew Wiggins, let's sit down and have a conversation.
I think the only real hurdle was Klay. Like, he was sitting Wiggins. He was, like, everybody else he's fine with sitting. You're not going to sit, hey, Steph.
We know he's comfortable sitting Looney. Yeah. I think he's done that a time or two.
And he might get a lot more comfortable doing that.
He already talked Chris Paul to come off the bench. So, it's like the last hurdle, the last, like, Band-Aid that needed to be pulled was Klay,
but,
I think.
But it also wasn't just like, oh, this is an ego thing because you're afraid of how Klay might react. It was like this idea that he thought it was wise to stay with Wiggins and Klay through the struggles that – it became more urgent because of their record, but now it truly feels like night to night. Like, it's going to be
more.
He's
going to play Klay most times. Klay, I mean, Wiggins is the one who definitely. And I said, like, Draymond being out, it just adds more. There's an extra spot open.
Yeah.
There's a spot that he could put Trace there. He could put Saric there. He could put Looney. And like, there's spots. And I asked him before the game, like, can you find a way to play Wiggins and Kuminga to close? And he's like, basically said no. And if you figure it out, it's because Klay's a forward now. Klay's not a guard. So he takes one of the forward spots. The other guy, Wiggins or Kuminga, takes the other one, and they don't have the small ball center. So they have to play, whether it's TJD, Saric, or Looney to close. That's kind of the math there. But I kind of like this group. I like this group. You know, we can switch Wiggins or Kuminga, but
it's Pajemski will be heard
from. Pajemski will be in there too, but Trace – Jackson Davis, as the fans have been clamoring, it's been, I've been a little annoyed by it, but maybe I was wrong to be annoyed by it. They've been clamoring for, as he's this ideal, athletic, young, shot blocking finisher. Maybe he is.
For a
maybe
night, he certainly
maybe
was.
Maybe he is. What? At least is partly that.
Two incredible blocks on Jaylen Brown. He has the pin block. I think it was in the first half. Maybe it was second half early. But the overtime block.
Overtime on the dunk. Like, there are multiple things happening here. And I think the difference is, and maybe even Kerr had to adjust to this, is the thing he's always had against young players or rookies. Not against them, but they just don't win you games. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where to go. I mean, TJD is showing you off the bat. I mean, step number one is making that rotation. James Wiseman does not see that play in advance and make the rotation, let alone block. Kuminga, for a time, would not see that play and make the rotation. And, you know, you could go down the list. Jordan Bell was not seeing that play and making that rotation. That's a Draymond-level read and react. But not only that, then he finishes it with the actual block on Jaylen Brown, who's one of the more explosive, you know, twos in the league. So, like, to me, the difference is, like, these dudes know how to play. Like, they know how to win. They understand, like, these kind of basic things you got to do to win games. So, it's like, it's hard to not play them if that's what they got.
Which, by the way, was the draft strategy. That was what they did, right? It was Brandon Pajemski, like, don't even look Cam Whitmore's way.
Yeah.
It was, you know, Trace Jackson Davis was guided there because they basically replaced Patrick Baldwin. Patrick Baldwin has some intriguing shooting skills, but was going to take a whole long time to develop.
Doing that.
And I don't think Patrick Baldwin was coming weak side in overtime to block a shot like that. Trace Jackson Davis, 23 years old. I mean, like, you know, the Indiana, the Mike Woodson, all that. So, like, that was the strategy, you know, from this front office was, like, get guys who can help.
Dunleavy, this is his first two draft picks. Like, can you imagine where they'd be right now without them? There would be some serious, serious depth. They'd have Ty Jerome playing these minutes.
I don't think they couldn't afford a Ty Jerome.
I know. Like, they would be stuck. And this
poor
is
Joseph, who you playing?
Yeah, they're getting some real
ride Wiggins and Clay.
Yeah.
Well,
here's, you know, okay, Trace Jackson Davis, should he be starting? Steve's not gonna do it. But
I might have to look at it. Friday.
I think it'll be a matchup though. I think it's gonna be a matchup.
What's the matchup that's good for Looney?
Athletic big, slow, non-athletic, or stretch.
Yeah. If they're playing the Kings, Looney's guarding Domantas.
Yeah, that's a good one. No question.
Yeah.
And maybe a few others, but
Dan Gazurich, right? Like
Dan Gazurich. Oh my god,
Dan Gazurich. I think he's got the Drunas Ogauskas coming after that. Who they got on Saturday? Blazers or Arvydas Sabonis?
Hey, that's a pretty epic pool, though. Dan Gazurich.
It's a great name.
Yeah, like Jason Capono and Jerome Moiso and UCLA.
Dan Gazurich, by the way, but no, Daniel Gafford is like kind of a slower plotting big. Like you play him against that, like, but it's when you know.
I went to Wizards Kings yesterday. It's not great from the Wizards side. You could start anybody.
I just say
Mike Muscala is their backup five coming off.
The Warriors have some offensive issues with Looney. I thought maybe with no Draymond, you know, you don't have two non-shooting bigs, but they tonight again. You know, Boston's really good.
Yeah.
So that's part. But when you play really good teams, I don't know how much Looney can play. I asked Kerr about it after the game, and he's like, "We need them both." I get it. He's going to play Looney. Looney's so important to the psyche of the team. All those things are understood, but he's not playing well.
He might just need a break.
Yeah, I mean, he's played how many straight games?
Well, he's second in the league in like consecutive games behind Mikal Bridges. It's something like he's like a 290 or something. Yeah, I agree. Like maybe could
he
be.
He just does not look bouncy. He does not look like he's getting to balls.
Like, remember his thing was on the pick and roll, switching onto the guard, and he's like, man, I can hold my own. Like, he can't do that.
Shoot right by.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Also, like, he's not just a dominant rebounder like he was in the playoffs, right? That's what defined his playoff runs. He was, remember that King series? It was like insane.
Yeah. It's very notable when you see Trayce Jackson-Davis just bouncing all over the place. You know, he's not going to make everything around the basket, but he's around it. He's getting the second effort.
I mean, actually, the shot Steph hit. Part of the reason is because Trayce missed the rebound. Like, ball bounced right to him.
He's not an ideal center. He's just different than what they've gotten from Looney, and that's huge. And it's also huge when you don't have Draymond and Wiggins is not rebounding the ball very well. Like, that is just a burst of energy. And like, those two guys running down the lanes, you're just like going, this looks different. And yeah, Kuminga's going to screw up. That time, we know that, and we know that Kerr is going to be, you know, be very cautious about that. But just I've said for a while, like, they got to play this one way because that's the best for Steph. I think they're going to have to change that because the personnel's changing, and they're going to have to figure out some other way.
They were a lot of high screen with TJD tonight. Two things.
Steph, did you see that, by the way? All you need to know is this. First time TJD comes to the game, they run a pick and roll. Steph throws a no-look lob. Automatically, he gets in and just throws it. Him and Chris Paul was laughing about it. Like, they know exactly who's in the game.
You know who else is operating very well out of the pick and roll with Trayce Jackson-Davis? Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson is, like, looking for the bounce pass. He's, like, very alert on that. I don't know. It's working well. Maybe the funniest play of the night, I thought, was and this, by the way, this was they're down 17. Trayce Jackson comes in. Obviously, you can see with this plus minus, that's what shifted the game. But this is Steph. Steph gets, I think it's fifth, and they're down 17 or around there at the time. And this is when they started running Klay Thompson, Trayce Jackson Davis pick and rolls. And it was Klay on the wing, hits Trayce Jackson Davis in the pocket. And the other part about him, he's a very good passer, and that's what matters in this offense, right? He gets it, and it's Corey Joseph in the dunker spot. Remember, he left it off to Corey Joseph, and I was like, how did that work? Corey, like, Klay is operating the pick and roll, and Corey Joseph in the dunker spot. You mentioned Kuminga. He just looks really sharp right now. I just think, like, especially defensively, I just thought he was
He stops Tatum on the last, you know, offensive possession of regulation, and Steph just goes crazy yelling.
Straight to him.
And I was going to ask Steph about it, but it was kind of getting late. And he had already mentioned Kuminga a few times. But, like, that's important to them. Like, he stoned him. He stoned Jason. Now, Tatum did not play great. Tatum does not always play great against the Warriors. There's something going on there. But this was what they count on from out of Wiggins when they won a championship. This is what they count on from GP2. This is what they count on from Draymond. Like, that was a playoff-level defensive stand by somebody that could do it a lot, and sometimes does it and sometimes doesn't so far in his career. But
he did it a couple games ago. He hadn't played the whole fourth, and they put him on Dinwiddie.
They didn't give him a block for that for some reason, but it was a block.
Steve was convinced that he touched the ball. I don't know. Where, at least made it tough. What do you think of Kuminga, right?
This is why he just needs to play. Like, he needs to be in these moments. He needs to feel it. Then, you know, he comes back out overtime, jumps a passing lane, 2 points. You start your overtime well because of it, just off the bat. Like, he's going to make plays. They get so into their, like, system sometimes. And it's like, all right, we're struggling. Let's do 17 screens and get a jumper. It's like,
let's get a post touch for Dario Saric and run some stuff.
Yeah, it's just like, let's run our actions. But Kuminga's the one who will be like, yeah, I will put my head down and get there. And he's getting a little better at it. Like, he still doesn't have the handle to kind of really make it happen, but he's got a couple moves.
He's added something.
He drove one time. He, like, fake and drove hard with Jaylen Brown on him. And he got fouled, but they didn't call it. But he's about to dunk it. But it's like just that hard nose, go to the bucket. Like, they need that more than I think they understand sometimes.
I mean, this is an elite defensive team they play tonight. Drew Holiday's on the floor, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford on the back end, Derek White. I mean, this is like, you know, these are all defensive player type guys. He's 7 of 9 on twos tonight. Yeah.
And you can feel that. I was kind of chatting with him afterwards and just asking him about that play with Tatum. And I'm not going to quote him directly. We're just chatting. But it been clear, like, the more he plays, the more he's figuring out what the referees are calling.
Yep.
And that was been a huge problem. Like, two fouls from Kuminga every time. That's not happening now. I don't even know how many fouls he had. Maybe one tonight. Other side, yeah. But like, he just,
Jonathan Kuminga had zero fouls.
Like, he just, I think, and the referees are getting to know him. And there's a certain level of in every game that what's a foul and what's not. And sometimes down the stretch, it's very liberal. He's kind of feeling that. He's definitely feeling that. Like, I know if Tatum's doing this, I can hit him here, and they're not going to call it because he hit me there on the previous play. And this is veteran stuff. He's a 3-year veteran, and he's physical. So, like, it's going to get – it's important for him to feel that. And then once he feels it, he can be very physical on defense and get some stuff that he wants to do. And he was, like, saying, like, there's ways to do this. Where you can, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, again, not foul, but you can bump somebody in a way that they're not going to call it. And it's still going to be very effective. And he's got to play for that. He's got to feel that. He's got to be in these games down the stretch when they're not blowing the whistles. All those things are very important. It just kind of is the big picture of what we've been saying. Play Kuminga. Just see what happens, because there's so much possible from him.
Yeah, it's playing no matter what. So he played 33 minutes tonight, 34 close to, and he needed the 5 minutes of overtime. But he's never had back-to-back 30-minute games, so we'll see if he can play against.
They might need another overtime for him to do that. We've noticed this with Moody and Kuminga. He's jumped over Moody now because Moody was over him. Like, some of these minutes are the minutes that Kerr would give to Moody.
So I have a question, though. You know, he actually did start Wiggins next to Kuminga in the second half because Pajemski got a little back strain. That's not a major thing. But clearly, as you mentioned, he's kind of – it almost seems a Wiggins or Kuminga choice right now. And to me, even though Kuminga is now starting, it kind of seems like his default is still going to be Wiggins if Wiggins is okay, if he's playing okay. Wiggins is 2 of 11 tonight. Kuminga's clearly playing better than him, so he goes to Kuminga. My question is, when does it or should it tilt to the point where, like, default goes to Kuminga instead of default goes to Wiggins? You know what I mean? Because it could have – like, if Wiggins just wasn't 2 of 11 tonight, like, he might just close with Wiggins.
It's tough to do that when Steph, Clay, Chris Paul is 3 spots right there. Like, that's 3 spots. Now you got – like you said, you got to throw a big out there, right? Like, got to have a center. So, whether it's Sarge or Looney or Draymond or TJD, that's one spot left.
Tonight wasn't Trayce Jackson-Davis, I think it would have been better just to go small with Kuminga.
They never do that with Kuminga. I mean, I would be interested in that, but Kerr just does not feel comfortable playing.
Yeah. Like, it's like Horford. Like, all right,
he's going to be outside. Anyway. Yeah, I mean we're all kind of thinking it. I think he kind of is a Draymond replacement. Like, not can't do everything Draymond does, but Draymond can't do some things that, that Kuminga does. And one of those things that Kuminga could possibly do is close at the five. Just never happens. Like, Kerr just doesn't think it's going to work. But can you imagine?
You like, almost don't even need to say, like, no, it's not even a five, in my opinion. Yeah, I don't know. Not, it's the modern league.
It's a modern five. And I mean, I
think the bigger thing is Steve wants somebody who's going to get the rebound.
That's
the if you don't have anybody. Who's going to get the rebound? Yeah. And he doesn't look at Kuminga. Somebody's going to go get that rebound. Looney will go get the rebound.
Pajemski.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. He's playing. If he's playing. Oh,
you're right. You're right.
Well, no, I mean, that's where you go. TJD is your guy who can try to track down rebounds. He's quick enough and he can defend the rim. That's another important thing. But, yeah, I mean, like.
It opens up so much when he rolls to the rim.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
It's
JaVale. Yeah. You know, it's JaVale McGee. And, again, fans have been clamoring for this for a long time, and I get it. But you got to do it also with an awareness of where the ball is. You got to be able to, you know, pass the ball. And there are some guys who they've had who could not do that. And Trayce Jackson Davis looks like he can. So that's going to be really – and can rotate the right way and isn't just a dunker. Just a dunker doesn't work in Steve Kerr's thing. Just doesn't. But TJD is going to be more than that. He already is. So, yeah, you got to play. I mean, that's one of those. Like, Kerr's like, I have to play him. He isn't – there's no way around it. And when Draymond comes back, TJD still has to play. Has to play. And
GP2's really going to mess this all up. Like,
yeah, he almost have to play him as a guard. And they don't like doing that. And that screws up the offense a little bit. But that's the position.
But,
that's
I mean, available. Then we're talking about, like, bumping Moses Moody out of the rotation.
Or Pajemski. Like, he's at Pajemski. So, I don't know. It's going to be a little tricky there. I mean, they could do a trade. Like, I mean, they could trade. Two for one. They can definitely.
That's what's really setting up right there. And, you know, that's probably the best. Like, you know, Mike Dunleavy loves this, right? He's got players. You know, you got Wiggins and his reputation. You know, Wiggins, he's 29. Like, somebody would want Wiggins. But some of these young players are starting to look like they might be something. You know, all of this helps Mike Dunleavy because, I mean, they're going to have to move somebody.
It's kind of the odd part about this season where if before the season I told you they're 13-14 right now, and like there's like a level of panic about it, prior to the season you'd have been like, man, like the youth is just not helping. Yeah, sure, like the veterans may be looking like they're aging, but there is like a layer of optimism coming below this team that I don't think we saw coming, right? Like you would say Moody has looked better than you probably thought in year three, right? I would say Kuminga, like, you know, it's been hit and miss, but in general, do you feel better about him as a prospect than you did day one of this season?
He's like playable every game. He's not great every game, but he's playable. Like there have been times last 2 years where he's like, okay, he's get him out of there. He cannot play, and he hasn't been that.
Game one of that Memphis series.
Yeah. He hasn't been like that. Even this Kings series.
So you have that. So you have those two. Your two recent lottery picks that are like those are massive. Like you need to at least have done decently. That looks better. And then the draft picks, 19th and 57th overall. So it's just weird because they're 13-14. Like there's a lot going wrong. Obviously,
yeah. I mean, and plus, because keep going. The offseason, Chris Paul and Dario Saric. Saric, you know, has his pluses and minuses, but he is an interesting player for them.
Make some shots,
yeah.
Though.
Can you imagine this team without all those players? They would not be good, and they're not great. But they're a lot better for having those guys than you can possibly imagine. If they had five other guys that they could have had, it would have been not good. And like they got some flexibility. That is the problem, though. Like they're like the same talent level. Yeah, the same talent level as the main guys, and that's not good because the main guys are supposed to be way better than them, and only one of them is. I was just looking like Derek White. If he was on the Warriors, he'd be their second best player. Like he would be. There's like not even a question in my mind.
The way he played tonight, yes.
He's played a lot like that. Yeah, he's been like that all the time. Yeah, like people around the Celtics say he's been their best player. Like he's been their.
Yeah, I just mean like 30 tonight. He took. You were talking about Klay taking 15 threes. Derek White took 18.
Yeah, he took a ton.
At least half of them were wide open though. So I mean,
because they had a scramble, they were scrambling on Jalen.
Especially once Steph had the five and they had to double.
They're scrambling. They're absolutely scrambling. By the way, I thought Chris Paul guarding Jason Tatum. That's what. Just resulted in Chris Paul lecturing me and his son about 9-time All-NBA. But I thought he played. He's 6 foot tall, and he played Jason Tatum great. You know, he just like just
they
didn't give up.
Always make that mistake. Those bigger guys, like, all right, I'm gonna post you like that.
They don't move.
That's in his rant. Like he's
got
the
I mean, he told me that he defended Kevin Durant for a whole game in the playoffs. I don't remember.
I attended it. It was Clippers Thunder. It was Clippers Thunder. It was. It like almost swung the series. It was in L.A.
So he guarded him the whole time.
Yeah. It was the story of the game, and like you know, you'd be shocked, but like Kevin Durant did not love the rhetoric coming out of that game. And what Chris Paul might not have mentioned is Kevin Durant went off the rest of the series, and they kind of had to go away from that matchup a little bit. Like remember the Beverly, the rhetoric. Yeah, okay. So like, it,
me,
yeah,
he had his son
no, he did, yeah. he did. I was there, but yeah, the Clippers did not win that series.
You go to, but like they do it. You see him do it. Like with Harden,
yep.
You see him do it with Steph and Chris Paul. Is like, that's their realm. Like, maybe they need to watch a little bit more offensive line play, right? But it's all about leverage, man. The tush push, get low. The low man wins, right? Yeah. Like you're going
the same,
to his realm.
Your legs are the same. Yeah, basically.
The other thing I remember at the time is it's interesting that he mentioned the Durant game. Like, Kevin couldn't dribble around him because it's the high dribble. And, you know, and we're talking about this was more. Prime, yeah. You know, middle of his all defensive teams, Chris Paul. Where he's, you know, it's funny, like this stuff Chris Paul just always mentions. Like, I think he's like third all time in steals or something like that. I mean, you know,
nah, he was a great on ball defender. He's a good Steph.
He's gonna be mad at you for saying was. He's gonna be he's not gonna be happy with that. He's gonna say I still am.
So. I wouldn't say he's great. I say he's a good on ball defender.
He was good on Tatum again. Tatum isn't the greatest dribbler. You know, like some of it is. Like, interesting. Well, Jaylen Brown really is.
I feel like
we're
back in 2022. Like,
I know.
Middle
like,
of game.
Sure, I felt like that, right? Like,
Tatum,
it certainly did.
That's what Tatum
that
was doing.
Like game five, except Steph made the threes this
Tatum
time.
Tatum was taking – I know he's really good at those step-back threes, but he was taking, like, early in the clock step-back threes. Like,
rattled, man. I think they get rattled. I mean, I think part of the reason they took 58 threes is because Steph terrifies them, right? Like, it's just
– Like, Jaylen Brown could get to the rim and score. And he was not doing – I don't know what was going on. And maybe TJD kind of changed up a little bit. But it did feel like 2022. It's like, this Warriors team is doing that to them? Like, that's weird.
Yeah, that was
– And with no Draymond.
I think they might have been tied in points in the paint. Like, it was just like, that's just not smart basketball.
When you see the 40 spot they put up in the first quarter, it's like, how are the Warriors
–
How are they going to guard this team? And then they did.
And the crazy part, they didn't go crazy from the line. It was only like 15 or something free throws. Like, and, you know, that's a team that gets to the line and the Warriors foul. They just got caught up.
They didn't foul tonight at all besides Steph.
And they got a friendly whistle in the fourth quarter. There's like a couple times. There's some bumps and – grinding like it was like the old Warriors when the dynasty could do whatever he wanted to do. The ball was not going to be a whistle, but that's fair. I liked it. It was fun. I was like, it was good.
That's way better than the other stuff.
Taking it every time.
Oh my goodness!
Aggressive team. Just is aggressive.
That's what I felt like.
It was earn a bucket.
It felt like it was ref more like a playoff game, which you know I like that too. I agree. Anything else before I get us out of here?
So what's more likely do you guys think that they're saying this might be the catalyst to change their season, or is this like the one of the times, you know, they're gonna do this multiple times a year, but can they string it together? Like, you feel like
I think a good stretch is coming. That this was the beginning of 10 of 11 at home. Again, I mentioned it, Wizards Blazers, like, you know, we'll see. Maybe we're like, but go get those two and then you're 15 and 14 and then you can afford to go lose in Denver on Christmas, and if you come out of Christmas,
you're feeling pretty good.
Yeah,
go get Denver.
But if you're 15 and 15 coming out of Christmas, which by the way they should be at this point, and then you're coming back home for I think a seven game homestand, which you know has
some tough games in there.
But you know it's seven straight at home when they're supposedly feeling better about themselves. Like Kerr, I feel like is figuring out his rotation more. At least he's being more flexible with it. Depends on like what are you asking, like, is this the catalyst? Will this be the story told at the end of another championship rainbow?
Will they be who they are now? Or is this going to be like, all right, the seven game homestand, it'll be another 3 and 4 stretch and you're back to figuring it out?
I think they're going to be better. I don't think this means they're going 10-1 or whatever, but I think it's going to be they're going to win at a clip that we expected to get to 46. That doesn't mean they're going to get to 46, but the clip of a team that would win 46 games, so maybe gets them to 43-44. Now, I don't know if that's going to be good enough. A lot of teams in the West are winning a lot of games, but I think we'll see them be better, and I think we'll see them get into the play-in. They're still out of the play-in. And, you know, be kind of like Lakery is what I would expect, like Lakers last year. I'm not saying they're getting to the championship, the conference championship. I almost said NFC championship game. That's another team. I think they're going to play better. I think we saw the worst of them when Wiggins and Clay were really bad, and they've kind of gone past. Now with Draymond, we'll see. But I also think at this point they just have to get used to playing without Draymond, because when he comes back, he might go back out again. And that's just, you cannot count on what Draymond Green is going to give you anymore. He's a bonus. And I think they're going to play better. You know, and they've had a hard schedule. There's no question. I mean, I've been tracking that. They've had the fewest games against teams under 500 in the league. And that's going to change when they get Washington and they get Portland and all that. But that matters. Like, well, Phoenix has like had 18 of them. And they've had
lost
four.
To Portland tonight. Yeah, I mean, Portland's like kind of frisky. So Portland is, almost got them, the Warriors, twice.
We all know they haven't looked good. They haven't been good, but it's been skewed by the fact that they played, you know, Oklahoma City four times, and they played Minnesota two times. Like that skews what your record is. That skews our perception, even though we know they have been playing very well. So if they just balance it out a little bit, you know, maybe they get to, you know, they get above 500 and they stay above 100. I don't know how much above 500 they're going to be, but I think they're clearly a slightly above 500 to maybe a little bit better than that team.
What's your answer to your own question?
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. I'm just not ready to.
Yeah, again, it's
a very
about
high what? Game. It's Boston. Yeah, like, yeah, I want to see.
They did not look great in the previous two wins. They did not. But they got 3-0. They got 3-0.
I'm not ready to say this is the catalyst. That's all.
Not a catalyst, but as a beginning of something, they got 30. They got 30, and that matters a ton. It certainly mattered to the Celtics. You could just feel it. And that if he's playing like this, even though he's had a few tough shooting nights, he plays like this. He is who he is. You can play the final 17 minutes of a game. I mean, they're at least a 500 team. At least.
You guys see that over there? It's late enough that they've already changed out the logo for the training room. It's a Wizards logo. We're staring at a Wizards logo.
Were you there when I asked somebody? Is there going to be a video, a farewell, whatever that is?
Tribute
video to Jordan Poole, and there kind of a silence. The answer was silence. Like, I don't know.
I talked to Jordan yesterday in Sacramento. I talked to Steve, Steph, Clay, Looney today about Jordan. You know, I think there is, I know Steve said it, but like they don't love that it ended in a sour way, because they all agree that Jordan Poole was a catalyst for a title that they don't get without what he did in the playoffs. They mentioned Memphis game one. They mentioned the Denver series. They mentioned Boston. Steph even mentioned the two half court shots in the finals to end the quarters. Do you guys remember that? One in Boston, one here. Like, you know, the stuff was like, it was kind of like me in Memphis, you know. There were signature shots, signature plays. Like, that was a great season by Jordan Poole. And that season ended in a title that's, like, forever stamped, like, this dynasty in a lot of ways. So, we all know, like, year four went sideways. And year four went sideways because it's something he didn't
largely
do.
Largely not his fault.
Yeah. So, I'll write, you know, I'm going to write the story in the next couple days. It's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I think, interesting quotes in it, but it's just, you know, I think the main thing is it's more of a success story. It should be viewed as more of a success story than I think it is, because it went so weird at the end. But this is a 28th overall pick that was a top six player on a title team. That's just a fact.
And
so,
earned $120 million.
Never paid him big money.
No,
yeah.
You only paid him his rookie deal, right? Like, yeah. So based on what the Warriors paid him and what they got for him, it was an incredible pick. Like, based on what he delivered and what they paid. Now, they signed him to the money and trade him, which we said a million times on the pod. Just because you sign him, you can always trade him. And the most they paid him was, what, $9 million in the last year or something?
No,
like
not
that?
Nine. Like,
no, three. Like something.
Yeah, yeah. 3.9. I believe it was 3.9.
Yeah, 3.9 million was the most they paid him, and he helped deliver a championship. Like, there should be no.
And he was a good guy. Yeah. He was a good guy. Didn't like me, but that's okay. A popular guy in the locker room, except for one person, and that's okay. You know, it's all whatever. It went down, and we all know what went down. And the Warriors picked Draymond Green, and that's who they should have picked. But I don't think there should be any booing or anything. I don't think there will be. I think there will be, you know, fond memories of this guy, and there probably should be a video. He won a championship. I think if you win a championship and you are main, like Juan Toscano-Anderson, I think got like some kind of video. Jordan Poole should get something, and I think he would really like it if he did. He would appreciate it.
I agree. All right, talk to y'all. I don't know, at some point.